Welcome to our Smith and Andy tour. This has been a very popular meeting on Sundays, and we hope to continue it, so stay tuned. Probably not on a weekly basis after the Warhol show closes, but we'll let you know how that progresses. Our speaker today, our artist, is Kevin Todora. Kevin received his BA from the University of Texas at Dallas and an MFA from SMU recently in the last year. This work has been shown in numerous group shows and solo exhibitions here in Texas. Some of you may remember his pieces featured in the late 2009 here in Fort Worth at the TCU Contemporary. The show was Death of a Propane Salesman. Most recently, in February of this year, his piece Get Bent was installed in Modern Ruin, a site-specific exhibition in a soon-to-be-demolished building.
But it got demolished,
yeah, it's well, at the time it was soon to be demolished, and now it is demolished. You can learn more about Kevin's work and view images of it on his website, kevintodora.com. Kevin Todora.
Hi, everybody. I'm a little nervous, but we'll get through it, I promise. I am an artist and photographer based in Dallas. Just recently got my MFA last year at SMU. I spent most of my time kind of attacking photographs. I wasn't taking pictures. I was really mining them and cutting into them, painting onto them. I was really just looking for another way of dealing with the photograph. I was just kind of getting tired of traditional photography. And I think a lot of the stuff that I was working with, I was pulling from found photography, things from magazines or newspapers or publications. And I think that's probably partly why I was asked to be here. I guess we should get started in the next room. I'm gonna start with the shadows, if that's okay. Oh, and anybody has any questions or anything, just please ask. I'm open to that. I like it. Shadows over here. Okay. So, yeah, come on in. I wanted to start with one of the, well, with this piece in particular, because this was Andy approaching abstraction in his work. He, I guess we'll see in a second, the oxidation paintings, those were in 77. This was, I think, in 78. Prior to this, he was doing a lot of celebrity portraiture and things like that. And even, we all know, of course, the Campbell soup cans and the Marilyn and Elvis. Before he became popular with the Campbell and the Marilyn and Elvis, he was experimenting a lot. And before he became known for what is known as pop, he was emulating some of what was happening with the abstract expressionists. He was using drippy paint and kind of really kind of expressive strokes in some of his work. But I think he had a dealer or a friend come over, and they were talking about the work, and they told him to really, you know, stop trying to emulate the abstract expressionists, just go full into this pop thing that he was doing. And that's where he stopped making these kind of expressive strokes, and really was, that's when we started to see the real pop art. He gave up painting in the 60s and was dealing with film. This was done, like I said, in 78. when he was kind of reapproaching this abstract expressionist kind of elements. So this is a silkscreen on top of these kind of abstract swaths of color. And if you look, if you get close, you can kind of see, I mean, you can see the brush, the stroke underneath the silkscreen. The shadow itself is kind of an abstract thing. It's there and it isn't there. So he was playing between his silkscreens and these kind of abstract kind of brush strokes with, underneath the silkscreen. And we're going to see a lot of that through the work that as we push forward. One of the things I like about Warhol is he really breaks a lot of rules. He's not doing things in a traditional manner. And I think I like to approach photography in that way. That's what kind of pushed me into breaking or cutting into painting onto photographs. This kind of disregard of rules. I mean, rules, you can always come back to them, but it's nice to get away. And I think a lot of the work in this exhibition kind of, we see a lot of rules broken. Let's see. Kind of go a little towards the oxidation paintings. So these two on either side are the oxidation paintings, and they were done. Have any of y'all done this before on Sundays? Come and heard people talk about this? No? Okay. So these are created with urine. There's a wet paint laid down with kind of a metallic material. It's copper or bronze, and when someone would pee on it, basically, it would oxidize, and these colors would change, right? So we've got, I mean, you can obviously see it happening, or we'll see the splatter or whatever. Let's see. What was I going to say about these? Oh, so this was done in 77, and this was kind of this turning point in Warhol's career, and he... It has the same kind of quality that that an abstract expressionist painting would. It has the energy without the brush. You know, people are peeing on these things. There's a lot of talk about this being related to abstract expressionism. There's also Warhol was. Let's see how. What was I going to say about these? He didn't like to talk about art historical references, so he probably wouldn't admit to it. But there was a film by Pasolini where an artist peed on the canvas, and he talked about how that was influential. He also talked about, or some other people have talked about how Jackson Pollock would sometimes, if there was a client or dealer he didn't like, he would like pee on the canvases before he delivered them. So there's like these nice little layers of things happening within these works. So after these, then he went and did the shadows, like we just looked at, and then so you kind of have these reapproaches to this abstract expressionism that he was playing with in the 60s, but told to give up, and he's just returning. You kind of have these. Paintings over here that are reminiscent of Jackson Pollock. These are done with silk screens. We can just call kind of walk. Anybody has any questions, please ask, because I'm open to whatever. Warhol? 87, February of 87. So, those were 77, Shadows 78. I think this was probably in the 80s. Yeah, 83. This was commissioned, I think, for a yarn company. And it's kind of... poking at Jackson Pollock, and you don't know if he's celebrating abstract expressionism or if he's making fun of it or trying to demystify it. I don't know. It's open to interpretation. Yeah. But yeah, these are silk screens. Then behind us here, we've got this camouflage. These were done later, I think 86, maybe? Or 87? No, 86. He died in 87. So camouflage is kind of funny because it's typically, you know, meant to hide things, right? But then is this a landscape or is this an abstract painting? He's playing with the notion of what is an abstract painting and what we're looking at, what we're dealing with. I think it's kind of funny. Andy Warhol's got a sense of humor, a big sense of humor, kind of like relates very much to Dada. And I think there was a funny quote where Warhol said that Dada and Pop have to be related because they both mean the father, right? They're like, it was just kind of a funny quote. He's always kind of playful and playing, and I think we see it in everything. On either end here, we've got these Rochart ink blots. Are y'all familiar with what those are? Y'all know? So these were done. They were done in the studio. One side was painted, and then it was kind of folded, and the ink was pushed around. And I think, from what I've heard or what I've read, Warhol was not interested in, you know, analyzing them himself. He was afraid because you all know when you go to the psychologist and you see these things, and you can. If you see a butterfly or maybe a wolf, it all will tell you about yourself. So he was afraid of saying what he saw in these things because I don't think he wanted to be too analyzed. But he was going to hire somebody to do it for him. It was kind of funny. Let's see. I don't know if I want to look at the eggs. I hope y'all don't mind. Let's see. So what else do we... I guess we can kind of keep moving. Actually, we're going to go further into this room. Okay. So, again, more camouflage. When he was dealing with, when he was doing the camouflage, he was doing quite a bit of these and pushing different colors around, and again more play with the abstract expressionism. What I really wanted to do, if we could look at the gun here, this is more indicative of, I think, what I remember Warhol of. I mean, I guess when we see kind of the Marilyn and the Elvis, there's this kind of misregistration. This is what I meant by the breaking of the rules earlier. He's not really following proper procedure. It's in a sense, it's really aggressive, and it's getting the image out regardless. And I think that's one of the things that I'm really interested in with Warhol is this disregard of rules. Just get the image out, and really, I think this has it all. I think. You've got what looks like two different gun images. You've got one with, it looks like it's cocked back and the other isn't, and there's definitely the misregistration. I guess it was 69, Warhol was shot by a woman named Valerie Solanas, and she was kind of this militant feminist who was kind of part of his kind of factory crew. He had this factory where work was made. There was a lot of parties, a lot of like illicit acts and things like that. But I think there's a whole movie about it. I rent it and see what you think. But he was shot in 69, and it was, I think, probably, well, anything post-shooting, he talked about being shot and how it was like a TV and how life was different after being shot. And I think it changed him as a person. He was. I think, you know, that confrontation with death will do wonders, I'm sure. But I think, so we see a lot of images like the gun, and there's the skull, which was in the first room, which we didn't stop at. But the skull as a memento mori, as a reminder of we're all going to die. And you wonder if maybe these are partially, or these are from his, kind of approach to death, or the shooting. But, you know, he was always, there was always death and kind of in his work. He had a car crash series he had done, I think, in the 60s. And, you know, there was always, I think there was always death in his work. And so it's hard to say if this is a result of the Solanas or not, but no, not sure. Anyway, I think that's, let's see. Yeah.
Valerie Solanas, when she attacked Andy Warhol, was carrying two guns. One she shot with and one she did not.
Ah, so...
This is the one that she did not.
Okay, okay.
I mean, not, obviously, this is a representative of that.
Oh, so it is really referencing the gun that...
As obliquely as you could make
it. I got you, okay. So there it is, that's it. That's the... Great. Kind of want to look at these paintings in the next room... So what do y'all think? Y'all like the show? Y'all like it? Yeah? What are some pieces that stand out? What do you like?
Self-portrait.
Self-portrait?
Green hair. Yeah.
The fright wig, I think, is what it's... So, kind of comes out of some of the work he was... This is a work he did with Jean-Michel Basquiat. And then over here... Well, actually, in the other room, there's another Basquiat, but this is a Clemente, Basquiat, and Warhol piece over here. So Warhol was always a collaborator. He was always collaborating with people, and teams of people helped him make a lot of these things because he always had people working, hence, like, the factory. So this relationship with Basquiat happened, I think they met in the early 80s. I don't know what year specifically, 82, 83. But, you know, up until this point, well, kind of. Warhol was using a lot of silkscreen, you know, and everything was kind of, you know, perfect. We can kind of, I mean, this is a Maryland, but it's not, you know, it was just a clean silkscreen. The relationship with Basquiat obviously was, you know, hand-painting these things on top of some of these silkscreen things, and then there's a question as to whether or not Warhol would use it. I mean, I think he would use his hand in some of these as well. Warhol was really excited about the relationship because it allowed him to approach painting differently than he had been doing prior. This work that's on the other side of the wall here, these kind of black and white, these are painted by hand and then silkscreen's made of them. So he's playing with this idea of hand and kind of this machine-made silkscreening process. So he's kind of going... he's using his hand, and a lot of it, I think, is responsible for this relationship he'd had here with Basquiat, and partially probably Clemente, but he's just playing back and forth between these different ways of approaching the painting. Then I know that this is the Maryland back here. I know he was mining a bunch of his older material. I don't know much to say about this one, but... I don't know what to say. I don't know if we'll talk. You know, we could even, and then we've got this volcano back here. This is, I don't know if this is all hand or if this is hand and silkscreen. So I think this room just kind of talks about the different processes that he was dealing with. Timely? Yes. Oh, sure. Yeah, definitely. I wonder how many flights got canceled for that one. I guess we can go a little further into the next room. Is that okay if we go into the next room? I'm not... Let's see. Okay. I'll slip. Sure. Again, here's another Basquiat piece here. Basquiat and Warhol. And of course, the Last Supper here. Nobody really knows when their last decade is, and I think people talk about Warhol's relationship with religion, and I think he did have a strong relationship with. I mean, he was Catholic, and it was said he was secretly going to church on Sundays with and people. I mean, it wasn't really public knowledge, but a lot of his later work, he started really approaching religion, and I think for the last year, I guess it was the last year of his life, I think was when he, what does this say, is it 85 or 86? I think it's 86. So he was commissioned to do this work, and after he finished the work with the Last Supper, he continued making more and more and more, and I think it's said that his Last Supper series is the largest religious. It's the largest collection of religious work by a single American artist. I don't know how many there are, but there are quite a few. I don't know. No, he didn't actually. It's silkscreen, but it's not silkscreen from the original Last Supper. He used a reproduction. So similar to, when he was using other source material, he was into the idea of the kind of the mechanical process. And so I'm sure, I would think that it's just fitting for him to use a reproduction rather than the original. But I don't know. I've read that they went through a lot of different versions of the Last Supper, trying to find out which one to use as the source. And for them, it just worked. But it is silkscreen, so basically, they are creating these huge kind of transparencies using kind of the photographic process and pushing silks through a screen to make these things. I mean, there's a lot more to the process of silkscreening. I'm just kind of.
These individually, or one a copy of the other, or
I don't know for sure, but I think they're from the same silkscreen. They're all, I can barely make out sections, so I'm thinking that they were done in sections and just I could be wrong about the process, but that's what it looks like. They might have measured out the canvas and just swiped and then swiped and swiped. Yeah. But Warhol's always repeating imagery, and I think it could be. It talks to the kind of the reproduction of images, the kind of maybe even the bombardment of images. Just this. I mean, this image in particular. Andy, let's see. We kind of see more of the religious reference back here. I don't know what to say about this one. It's and then there's even more back here. I don't know what to say exactly about this one. I think you've got a lot of different things happening here. It almost looks a little even kind of unfinished, but I don't know what the... I don't know what to say about this one, honestly. Andy Warhol was, not only was he doing these paintings, but he was producing film and television shows, which are happening in the next room over here, or some of them, examples of them. He was involved in, publishing magazines and books. He was really a prolific artist, and I think... this show does a good job of kind of capturing this, some of, I mean, the his output as a, you know, as a painter, as an image maker. But there's so many things I think he did with his last decade. I don't know. I hope you can. It's a little loud with the television things in here, but around the corner there's some of his portraits, which he did with the fright wig, which you saw in the other room. I don't know if you've seen the other portraits in here. I've heard that some of this wig came about because he wanted his hair to look like Basquiat. I know Basquiat and Warhol had a falling out later in their relationship or career, and I think it was almost like a call back to Basquiat to come and, you know, rekindle their friendship. But I don't know if, Michael, do you know when Basquiat died? Was it before or after Warhol? When Basquiat died?
It was before.
So I think they both died relatively, I guess, close to the same time, I think within a year or something. But I don't know. Anybody have any questions or anything? Any? Sure.
What do you think the influence of Warhol has been on your generation of artists? What are you doing now that you wouldn't have done if he hadn't existed?
Geez, I think he's very influential. I think he made the commonplace object. Well, I could even go back to Dada, but I think that the ability to mine and use these images that come out of popular culture, I think. Very influential, and he made the commonplace just more accessible and a great target or a great source. I don't know. Sure. Anybody? Anything else?
How do you spell your last name?
Todora, Todora.
The images. If I could ask you a question.
Sure.
Can you talk a little about the images that you use in your work and that you often use? Repetition and the obliteration.
Sure. I don't know exactly if Warhol was. Sometimes I feel like he's celebrating the image. I don't feel like I'm celebrating. I feel it's retaliation almost. The work I was interested in doing, and it probably came out of a lot of things. Surely I feel like I was pushing against advertisements that were, I felt, bombarding me, and then. Also, there was maybe a political cycle and having to listen to politicians and see all these ads. There was a frustration, and I think I was just trying to push against all this that I was constantly bombarded with. So I feel retaliatory, I guess, whereas I don't know. There's something different with Warhol, I think. Sometimes it's a celebration. Maybe it's also showing, I guess, kind of the absurdity of... some of these commonplace things, or I think, I don't know, I feel like I'm just frustration, I guess. But I don't know, he seemed like a funny, nice guy, and I'm not saying I'm not a funny, nice guy, but I think that I look at things a little differently, or I don't know, maybe not. I hope that answered a question. I can ramble more if you like. So what do y'all think? What do y'all have some favorite pieces? Okay, so we've some people like the portraits. Anybody have any other favorites? No? Which one? Right. It's about the shadows. There's I don't know how many there are at the Dia Beacon in New York, and if you ever have the opportunity, it's really gorgeous. The shadows kind of take over a whole room, and there's many different colors. I've read that Warhol wanted it to be the backdrop of a disco, which seems ridiculous, but they're these. It's a really gorgeous installation. I'm pretty fond of the shadows, especially seeing them. I honestly was never. I guess in my education as a growing up, Warhol, I was kind of glanced over. As just pop art, you see Lichtenstein and you see Warhol. You don't really get to see the depth. I think this show does a great job of showing lots of different things. But I think in general education, I don't think we're really given a proper exposure to Warhol. At least mine wasn't. I can't speak for everybody. Sorry. So I didn't really get a chance to really enjoy Warhol until I saw him, say, at the Dia Beacon, or I spent a lot more time. I used to work at the DMA, Dallas Museum of Art, as a photographer, and really, in that position, I was able to really get close and see things, and I think it really helped me, my appreciation grow, to spend time and see things other than, say, Marilyn and Elvis, although I still like those images, but I think those are just always what people see, you know, and I think there's so much else there. Anyway, I'm just babbling. Anyone have any questions now?
What year was it shot?
Shot 69, I think. It was 68 or 60. I think it's 69. He had just got a new, I think they just moved the factory to another location, if I'm not mistaken, and she was mad because he didn't produce a play of hers or something. I can't remember the specifics, but they had known each other prior, and she wrote, a manifesto called Scum, and it's a society for cutting up men. So she was predisposed, but I think he was playing with fire, I guess, you know? I think she meant to kill somebody. Allegedly, she went to kill someone first, and that person wasn't home, so she went to Warhol. So I think, like, she was intent on killing somebody that day. And I don't know who the first person was. I can't remember. But he led an interesting life. I think it did. Obviously did, if this is the partial he's this series he'd created for the commission, and I can't remember who the commission was for, but I think it was in Italy, but he went on to make more of these even after he finished the commission, and that's where that kind of large body of religious work came from. I think he did more. He's flirting with it, but he was always private, but I don't know about prior to the shooting. I don't remember seeing much, but then again, I don't know if there's if there's access to everything, you know.
Kevin, do you think these takes on art historical subjects, Da Vinci and Mona Lisa, are they Andy thinking about his legacy at this point?
I don't know. What year was the Mona Lisa? Is that pretty late as well? I really don't know. I can't speak to it. There's the idea of him being shot. I know he's talked about being reborn as well. And I think, for some reason, that's what I'm always reading into the Last Supper here. I guess this Warhol kind of relating to it. But, you know, I don't know if... I'm not so sure about the Mona Lisa. I don't know. And I didn't really... Maybe. I don't know. I'm dwindling, sorry.
Just for fun, you were talking a lot about the abstract expressionist connections. Could you tell the anecdote about the two Coke bottle paintings?
Did I say that? I thought I... the whole story about the... he had presented two Coke bottles, one with drips and one without drips. And the dealer said it was inconsequential, but then the other one said it was crap. Or no, his friend said it was... I don't remember the anecdote. What was the...
It was like one of them is genius and one of them is crap.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he said the word crap, though. I think he said...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. I guess, thanks.
Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.
Sure.